Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is a good God. Would you agree? Amen. All the time. How often? All the time. Amen. Is there ever a time God's not good? No, the Bible says he's good and only good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been on this series on talking about living on fire for God. How many want to live on fire for God? Come on, that's not enough hands. I said, how many want to live on fire for God? Amen. We want to live passionately for God. I mean, that's one of the taglines of our church is impacting lives with purpose and passion. We want to teach people how to live on purpose for God with a passion for God. Amen. We want to be on fire for him. I don't want to be the lame, limp piece of wood that never did burn in the fireplace, right? I want to be that log in there that's on fire, and my ember is just like bright orange, man. I'm just on fire for him, and I trust that that's what you want as well for your life. And so anyway, we've been talking about how to have a fire, there are necessary fuel. You've got to have fuel for the fire, you got to be intentional about putting the fire, putting the fuel into the fire. You got to be intentional. The log don't just automatically jump on the fire, does it? We have to reach over and be intentional about putting the log on the fire to fuel it, and so it can burn more and more and more. So we've been talking about these different fuels, and a couple of weeks ago we talked about the fuel of the Word. Right? It's so important. You've got to start with the Word. The Word of God is a fuel that you need in your life. If you want to live on fire for God, you've got to have the fuel of reading the Word, getting the Word on the inside of you, right? The Bible tells us that it says it this way in Psalms. It says, the entrance of God's Word gives light, right? But what it's not saying is just entering into the Bible, just reading the Bible. But it's not just reading the Bible that gives light. There's a lot of people who have read the Bible and it's done, and because they were reading it for their own selfish reasons, trying to refute Christianity or whatever, and it didn't do them any good. But then when the Word gets on the inside of you, though, so it's not just the entering into God's Word, it's when God's Word is getting on the inside of you, it begins to change you, doesn't it? Right? So we talked about the fuel of the Word. Last week, we talked about the fuel of prayer. We're going to be talking about different fuels throughout the weeks, but we talked about the fuel of prayer and how important prayer is to fuel your fire. Amen. I don't know if you ever even made that statement, man. It just fuels my fire. People talk about what you're calling. Well, man, this is what fuels my fire. This is what gets me up in the morning. This is what makes me excited about life, right? Because there's certain things that God has called us to do. But the fuel of prayer is imperative. So the Word is imperative. The prayer time is imperative. Amen? And then we're going to talk about another one today that is just as important as the others that we've talked about. Today I want to talk to you about being fueled by the Holy Spirit. I so was wanting this to land on Pentecost Sunday, but it's too important to put other things in between. You know, I can see how what God is showing us is there's the fuel of the Word, there's the fuel of prayer, and man, when you talk about prayer, who wants to pray without the Holy Spirit, right? And so we're going to be talking about that today. So the fuel of the Holy Spirit. But I do want to remind you real quickly of a couple of scriptures that we have mentioned. And I told him you don't have to put these up on the screen. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it talks about, this is where Timothy talks about. In fact, let me just read it to you real quick. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to read it to you. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says this. This is why, Paul said to Timothy, he says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames. To fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Well, just verse 6. We're not going to read verse 7. But verse 6, so he's talking about fanning into flames. Then notice he didn't say, now go find somebody to pray over you to fan into flames. He says, you fan it into flames. That's a beautiful thing about what Paul said to Timothy. He told Timothy, you've got the ability to do this. And so what that tells us is each one of us individually have the ability to fan into flames. We don't have to have the pastor pray for us. We don't have to track down prophet so-and-so, apostle so-and-so, whoever, right? All we've got to do is make the decision that I'm going to be intentional about fueling my fire. That's what's beautiful about it, is because you're not dependent upon anybody else. You've got within you the ability in and of yourself to pursue God, to pick up the Bible and read it, to spend time in prayer and pursue the Holy Spirit. That's what's so awesome about that. And the other scripture that I want to remind you about is we read a couple of weeks ago is Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says this, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this. It says, regarding the angels, he says, he sends his angels like the winds. Now watch this. That's the angels. But now he switches gears. And then he says, his servants like flames of fire. The servants is you and me. The servants is you and me. So he says he wants us to be, he wants to send us out like flames of fire. Say flames of fire. Come on, man. We're talking, flames of fire. That's pretty intense. Right? But he wants us to be on fire for God. God don't want us walking around like a limp noodle. Right? Right? No, he wants us to be invigorated by his Spirit, invigorated by the Holy Spirit, and it's doing great and mighty things for him. Amen? Come on, some of you run across somebody. God wants it to be where when you come across somebody that's having an issue, hey, can I pray for you? Now, I mean, you may not have to go, hey, can I pray for you? But you might, you could just say, hey, man, I just believe God wants to do something. Do you mind if I pray for you? Come on. But how many of us actually do that? I mean, come on, let's just face it. I don't do it near as often as I should, right? I know I don't. Is anybody else in here can be honest? Come on. But why is that then? Maybe it's because there's times I've allowed my fire to kind of begin to dwindle down. And it's like, no, I don't want to live my life like that. I don't want to live weak and anemic as a believer. I want when they see me, the example of a believer they see is somebody that's absolutely in love with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and believes that he walks with power. Not because of me, but because the Holy Spirit lives in me. Amen. So the fuel of the Holy Spirit is so, so important. And he wants us to live like flames of fire. Listen to this quote from Andrew Murray. He said this, men ought to seek. Let me make that just a little bit. Get out of the way. There we go. Okay. Men ought to seek with their whole hearts to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without being filled with the Spirit, it is utterly impossible that an individual Christian or a church can ever live or work as God desires. Now, he didn't say they couldn't do some nice things for God, but without being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just not going to be able to live on the level God wants you living on. You're not going to be able to live with that level of fire and that passion, because the Holy Spirit is the passion. See, the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit, he is not just a fuel for the fire. He is the fire. And we're going to see some scriptures here in just a little bit. And you're going to see what I'm talking about. When the Holy Spirit showed up, there was fire. I said, when the Holy Spirit showed up, there was fire. Glory to God. You say, man, you're a little hyped up. Get hyped up with me then. Let's be hyped up together. Because I'm hyped up on the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. There's nothing wrong. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, I've been to different places that, hey, you just need to back off on your Christianese. And I get that. I understand when you're out in the world, you don't want to be, glory to God, praise God, hallelujah to everybody you're talking to. They're going to be like, what's wrong with this freak? Right? But they're, hey, come on. This is church. This is where Christianese is acceptable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's nothing wrong with it. Amen? Hallelujah. You are a Christian, right? Then you should be talking like a Christian sometimes. Amen? All right. Now, I'm not talking about going out to the restaurant today and unleashing all the Christianese you know, freaking people like, what is wrong with them people? Right? But be excited about your faith, though. Be excited about your faith. Amen? A.W. Tozer said this, if the Holy Spirit was with, oh my goodness, listen to this. Pay attention. This is good. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. And he goes on, if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped, and everybody would have known the difference. Think about that. A.W. Tozer said, if 95% of what we, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from us today, 95% of what we do as church life today, as believers, nobody would even, it would go on and nobody would even know the difference. But back in the New Testament, which is where the book of Acts was written, back in the New Testament, if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they were doing would have stopped. Why? Because it was all about the Holy Spirit. And then everybody would have known the difference. That's where I want us to be. I want us walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you can't walk in the power of the Holy Spirit if you have not received the Holy Spirit. Right now, yeah, I know you got saved, and that's all well and good. But the Bible talks about an encounter with God or an encounter with the Holy Spirit that comes after salvation. Paul was teaching believers about receiving the Holy Spirit. So they are already saved. But there's something about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit that takes the power notches up quite a few. Right? All right, listen to this one. Donald G. said this, doctrines about the Holy Spirit are necessary and inevitable. But the all-important question is not what we mentally believe, but what we experientially enjoy. Right? So doctrines about the Holy Spirit, teaching about the Holy Spirit, and all that's inevitable and it's needed. But it's not just what we mentally believe. Okay, I read it on the paper, so okay. And that's what a lot of people do with their Bible, right? When you do read something, it's like, okay, I mentally believe that because we all know, we all believe that the Bible's true and it's a book to be believed. So we make this mental assent that, yeah, I believe that. But what Donald G. is saying is that it's not what we mentally believe the Scripture says, but what we experientially enjoy. Are you just believing it because it's on the book, or are you actually spending time with the Holy Spirit where it's actually that's your experience? Right? Amen. Anyone that wants to argue with you on a mental level has no power over the person that has had an experience with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can argue mental knowledge all day long. But when it comes to experience, you could, like I said, I don't know if it was here or maybe it was Bible school that I said this, but, if I'm in the, to tell me that there's no water in the pool when I'm in the pool swimming, you can tell me that mentally there's no water. I'm telling you, there's no water in the pool. There's no water in the pool. I'm experiencing it. I'm doing the backstroke in the pool. You can't tell me there's no water in the pool. Why? Because I'm experiencing it. What we need as a church is to experience the Holy Spirit. And you won't experience what you're not pursuing. See, we got to go after, and that's what Donald G. was saying. D.L. Moody said this. He said, the fact is we are leaky vessels. How many know we as Spirit-filled believers, we leak, right? Rather it be from the pressures of life or not having the discipline to stick with it or we just allow everything to distract us from our prayer time or spending time with the Holy Spirit. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I have to stay on that. I have to stay focused on that. But he says, the fact is we are leaky vessels and we have to keep right under the fountain all the time to keep full of Christ in order to have a fresh supply. And he added this. He said this, I believe this is a mistake a great many of us are making. We are trying to do the work with the grace that God gave us 10 years ago. We say, if it is necessary, we will go on with the same grace. But what we want is a fresh supply, a fresh anointing, a fresh power. And if we seek it and seek it with all of our hearts, we will attain it. I don't want to try to function on an anointing I experienced 10 years ago. Well, 10 years ago, I spent time with the Holy Spirit, and it was amazing. I don't want to try to continue to live life and do ministry or do anything on an anointing from 10 years ago. I don't want a stale anointing. I want a fresh anointing. That's why it's important that I spend time with the Holy Spirit now. I spend time with the Holy Spirit today. I spend time praying in my prayer language today, because that's where the fresh anointing comes from. That's where the fresh power comes from. I don't want to try to do things now on something God gave me 10, 20 years ago. I want to do something now with what He the grace and the power and the anointing that He is giving me today to do it. Amen. So, yeah, we are leaky vessels, but that don't mean we can't go back to the filling station and get refilled. Amen? We can go, and here's the beautiful thing. We can go as often as we need to, which is often, which is very often. Amen? We need that on a daily basis. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, continually be being filled. It says, be filled with the Spirit. But if you look it up in the Greek, it means be being filled. In other words, we get filled with the Holy Spirit the initial time, but then we've got to stay full. And to stay full, we've got to get in His presence. We've got to pray in our prayer language and say, Lord, fill me afresh. Fill me anew today. Fill me with more power today. Lord, help me in the name of Jesus. And we get in His presence and we read His word and we pray and we go to the Holy Spirit and say, fill me to overflowing today. I'm not concerned about what you did for me yesterday, because I've leaked over the last 24 hours. I want a fresh filling, a fresh anointing. Come on, fresh power, fresh anointing, but it's got to be today. Amen? Glory to God. All right, let me give you some examples real quick. Genesis chapter 1. Oh my, he's going to go through the whole Bible. No, what better place to start it than at the beginning, right? All right, now look at this. Genesis chapter 1. Because, and one reason I'm doing this is because I want you to see this is from the very beginning all the way to Book of Revelations. I mean, the Spirit of God is always doing awesome things. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I mean, before I read this, I want to tell you, you got to understand the power of the law of first mention. When something is first mentioned in the Bible, it sets a precedent. It sets a precedent, and God he starts off from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 1, showing us what He intended for our life with the Holy Spirit to be like, right? And you're going to see it as we go through. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the waters, covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, in the King James, I love it in the King James, because it says that the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. So now we have this precedent that the very first mention of the Holy Spirit, and it tells us that He was moving. The very first mention, He moved upon the waters. He was hovering. And then when God spoke, He moved. And you notice as it goes through this next 6 days of creation, every time God said and something came to pass, it was because the Holy Spirit made it come to pass. Huh? Well, that's New King James. No, it's King James. Yeah, it's rare for me to use King James, so they automatically put up a new King James. But King James says that God moved upon the waters. I know, because I looked it up. Amen. All right, so let's go to another one. So Genesis chapter 1 shows us that the Holy Spirit, the very first mention of the Holy Spirit, and it shows that He moved. So the Holy Spirit, it's what I want you to get, that when the Holy Spirit is involved, things happen. When the Holy Spirit is allowed to move in our lives, when the Holy Spirit's allowed to move in our midst, things are happening. He is doing something powerful, and we've got to recognize that. Amen? All right, let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and you can just see it up on the screen, because I'm going to kind of move kind of quickly, because I'm moving with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 1, it's talking about, this is where it talks about, you know, the angel visited Mary and said, you know, you're going to have a baby and all this kind of stuff. Well, let's read that and let's see what happened. The Bible says this in verse 34. It says, so, you know, the angel says that you're going to have a baby and all this. And so Mary asked a simple question, and she wasn't doubting, but it was just, this has never happened before. So it's like she asked this question. Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I am a virgin. Right? And it's a simple question. Well, this is how the angel responded. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What happened? The Holy Spirit came, he moved. He did something. But the Holy Spirit moved, and what happened? She became pregnant. Now, there's people in the world, there's people in the church that goes, is that just like a Bible story? Or like, are you like being for real? You need to make the decision. Listen, Jesus started off supernaturally. So it's no surprise that all the things he did in this earth were supernatural. Right? And yeah, to be saved, you have to believe this. You have to believe that he was born of a virgin birth. Amen? It's a supernatural encounter. But what happened? The Holy Spirit moved, came upon her. The Holy Spirit moved, right? And the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and she became pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 3, another story about Jesus. Matthew chapter 3. Now, this is a story where, you know, he's being baptized, and he comes up out of the water, and, you know, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit ascended upon him. So let's look, this is right before he went into the wilderness, right? But in chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, after his baptism, as Jesus come up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and settling on him. And because of this, Jesus, what followed from that is Jesus had 3 years of absolutely supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles because the Holy Spirit moved upon him and settled upon him. Now, remember that word settled, because we're going to see it here and again in a minute. But the Holy Spirit moved and settled on him, and he had 3 years of supernatural ministry. Could it be that if we would allow the Holy Spirit, we would spend time with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to settle upon us, that maybe we could have some supernatural ministry? Because Jesus said, the things that I did, greater things shall you do, because I'm going away. I'm going to send another one, not just to walk with you, but to walk in you, to live on the inside of you, to infuse you with inner strength, to infuse you with inner power, that you're able to do the things that Jesus did and even greater things than he did. How many times are we going to read that before we make the decision? I believe that word. Or do we read it and go, oh yeah, praise the Lord, that was an awesome verse. But are you saying it because you don't think it's real? Are you saying it because you don't think it exists for us today? No, Jesus said it. If you don't think it works for us today, then you're calling Jesus a liar, because he says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send another one to walk in you. I'm actually glad that I don't live in the Bible days where I was just walking and Jesus was just walking beside me. Everybody's like, oh man, I wish I could have been back there with Peter, you know, and all those guys who walked with Jesus. I'm not. I don't want to be back there. Why? Because I'm living in the dispensation where the Holy Spirit lives in me. I don't have to have Jesus right there next to me like that. I've got his Spirit living on the inside of me, infusing me with power. Glory to God. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. A few verses, but we are a Bible-believing church, right? Where's the scripture? I'm giving you the scripture. All right, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this. It says, but Jesus, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, but you will receive power. Now that word power is the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. It is, he's saying that you will receive power, dynamic power in its working. You will receive power to do signs, wonders, miracles, to do supernatural things for God. Amen. And you know, sometimes that supernatural may not be spectacular. It may be that the very life on you that you're allowing just to be released to people is bringing life to them. It's giving them hope that, wow, man, this person's like really excited about God. Maybe I should be excited about God. I mean, no, that's supernatural. Because you're allowing the Spirit of God just to flow out of you to care about people and to love people. And that care and that love has an anointing on it. It has the Holy Spirit upon it. And then when it touches that person's heart, it begins to shape and change things in them. And they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know life could be this good. All because you allowed the anointing that is in you to be released into their hearing. See, everything about the Spirit, Holy Spirit is not always spectacular, but it's always supernatural. Amen? All right, so he says here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit moves, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You won't just witness, but you'll actually be my witness. People will see something in your life that is a testimony that it's different than everybody else. You will be my witness. They will see something in you that just makes them go, what? What is it you got that I don't got? Because we're facing the same stuff. We're going through the same pandemic. We're going through the same inflation. We're going through the same stupid stuff that's going on around us right now. But you don't seem to be moved by it, because Paul says, none of these things move me. Why is it that Paul can say none of these things moved him? Because he knows that the Holy Spirit is moving through him. We don't have to be moved by negative things, because we've got the greater one living on the inside of us, and he is moving us as we need to be moved. Amen? Hallelujah. But he says, but you will receive power. That is a promise from Jesus. You will receive power. And we see that, we actually see that manifested. If you flip the page and go to Acts chapter 2, and starting in verse 1, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers, see, they were already believers and they hadn't even been filled yet. Well, there went the theory that, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just when you get saved, you know, the Spirit of God moves into your life. No, that he does move in that way, but that is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he's talking to believers. He says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers, so they were already believers, they were already saved, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled. There's that word settled. I told you to keep it in mind. That you were going to see it again. And that it says, and these flames or these tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Watch this. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Glory to God. Man, as a spirit, if you're sitting there as a spirit-filled believer, this should be exciting you. Because, man, you've got the fire of God on the inside of you. You've got the fire of God on the inside of you. It's been there all along, but what we haven't been doing is we haven't been fanning it. We haven't been fueling it. But, man, as we begin to fuel it and we begin to fan it, and we begin to, and then we put fuel to it, it begins to catch that fuel on fire, and it begins to burn hot. And, man, it's just like awesome. Amen? Come on. We can't let this world beat us down and take away our fire. We got to quit letting all the stuff that's going on with the government and all the stuff that we don't like. We can't let all that stuff just make us bitter. Come on, listen to me. Born again, spirit-filled people are not bitter. Let me say it again, because I didn't misspeak. Born again, spirit-filled people are not bitter, they're better. They're not bitter. Well, I know a spirit-filled believer that is bitter, then they're not spirit-filled. I'm not saying that they never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying that they obviously have not maintained it, because if you're full of the Spirit, you are not going to be bitter. Why? Because what is bitter rooted in? Fear. It's rooted in fear that what has happened is not going to turn around for you. But a faith-filled person is like, it doesn't matter what's happened. God's going to turn this for my good. So that's why spirit-filled people that are presently spirit-filled, they are not bitter people. They are not unhappy people. They are not depressed people. They are happy people. Born-again, spirit-filled people are happy. You're like, well, I'm not very happy. Born-again, spirit-filled people are happy people. So if you're sitting there and you're like, well, my life hasn't been very happy, then maybe you need to focus on getting more full. Because the more full of Him you get, the less full you are of other things. Right? And people won't be saying, you're just so full of it. Or even if they do, you'll go, yeah, I'm full of it. I'm full of Spirit. Right? Amen. Is this helping anybody? Glory to God. All right, let's go over to Acts. And I got this one and one more verse. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. Here's Stephen. Stephen, a man full of grace, or if you read it in another translation, it says a man full of God's, full of faith and power. Stephen, a man full of faith or full of grace and power, the Spirit, and once again, the Holy Spirit moved upon him, right? That's the power it's talking about, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved upon him. Now watch this. What happened? He performed amazing miracles, signs among the people. So in other words, what we're seeing, and I mean, I could have kept you here for another half an hour and given you example, showing you scripture after scripture after scripture. Some of them we looked at last week. When the Holy Spirit was upon John as they were going into the temple, and they prayed for the man that was lame and he was healed. I mean, Cornelius, we talked about this. But it was because the Holy Spirit was moving upon them. But when the Holy Spirit is moving, things are happening. The Holy Spirit is all about action. Think about the book of Acts. The book of what? But PK, it clearly says it's the Acts of the disciples, the Acts of the Apostles. No, that is mislabeled. That is a name that man put on that. It was not the Acts of the Apostles, because the apostles in and of themselves couldn't do anything that we read about. It was the Acts of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, don't start talking about how awesome the apostles are. It's talking to Jesus is telling them about the Holy Spirit. He's not even talking to them about the apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. And just like the Holy Spirit gets on them and does awesome stuff, the Holy Spirit can get in and upon us, and we can do awesome stuff because of Him. Yeah. It's all about the power of the Holy Spirit. So the book of Acts actually gives us a precedent. And I told you last week that the book of Acts is not just a history book. It is a history book, but it's not just a history book. It is a book of what did I call it? It's not just a history book. It's a book of examples to show us what a spirit-filled life is supposed to look like. And I, for one, am not willing to just read that and then look at our day and go, well, that must have just been for back then. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I believe that what was written back then was for our day today. I believe that we can walk in the same power that they walked in. But listen, to walk in the power they walked in, you got to do what they did. To get what they've got, you got to do what they did. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to spend the time in prayer? Are we willing to spend the time reading the Word? Do we want to see the move of the Holy Spirit or not? We don't get to tell God, I want a move of the Spirit, and Lord, you're going to do it like this. No, we need to go to Him and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? Lord, how do we get a move like this? So I don't know about you. I do. I know some of you actually agree with this. We want to move the Spirit of God in this place because that's what's going to draw people. I know that I'm such an amazing, eloquent, just an amazing speaker. I know it. I get it. But that's not working. I'm totally kidding. I'm just speaking, and whatever people label it, I don't care. But my point is this: it's not just our natural abilities. We're not going to come up with the coolest, most creative outreach, and it's just going to load the church. Because you can have all the lights. If we had a full band, if we had everything that people say, oh man, if we can get this, man, people are going to come. That's what they said about this building. Oh, you get a building, man, people are just going to flock in. I ain't seeing no flocking. Right? But what I do know is that when you read through the book of Acts, when you see the Spirit of God moving, and it says, what did it say? It says, and thousands were added to the church daily. It was because of the move of the Holy Spirit, not because we had the greatest program going. Amen? So we want a move of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you one last thing, then I'm done. Ephesians chapter 3, and I close with this. Ephesians chapter 3. All right, let's look at this. This is so good. Because this brings you right into the middle of the picture. Right? Did you know that you were in the Bible? You are. You're in the Bible. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Oops, I went back too far. Oh, here we are. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you. There you are. You're in the Bible right there. I said you. You are in the Bible. There's the word you right there. But now it's talking about you, though, isn't it? You are right there. And he says, I pray, this is Paul's prayer. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength. But watch this, through his Spirit. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. I don't even want to try. Right? It's dry. It has no results when we try to do things without him. I want him in the middle of everything we do. And he says that he is praying that they would be infused with inner strength through his Spirit. Now watch this. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. How's all this happening? Through his Spirit. Don't forget that. Through his Spirit is the precedent for everything else we're about to read. Through his Spirit, being infused with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him through his Spirit. I'm going to throw some of those in there just to help you. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong through his Spirit. And may you have the power to understand through his Spirit, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is through his Spirit. Come on. May you experience through his Spirit the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete through his Spirit with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God through his Spirit. It's all because of the Holy Spirit. How can we try to eliminate the key component that opens it? He is the door to signs, wonders, miracles, and supernatural lifestyle. He is the door. And look at verse 20. And this is it right here. Here it is. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power. That's another way of saying through his Spirit, because the Spirit of God is his power. Right? Now, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I say it this way, and I think I flip them when I quote it, but now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, dream, or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Well, what power is that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So if it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's doing infinitely more and doing great and exceedingly abundant things, then I want to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Come on, this is a fuel we've got to get. It's a fuel. I know we've heard over the years, you need to read your Bibles, right? We've heard that. You need to pray. We've heard that. You can hear that in just about any religious church. They'll tell you to read your Bible and pray. But there's a lot of churches that won't talk about being infused with inner strength by the Holy Ghost. We got to quit being afraid of the name, the Holy Spirit. I don't care who comes in here. I'm not afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what's going to change their life. It's not going to be my words. It's not going to be our music. It's not going to be anything that we do or ever will do, right? It's going to be because we have committed our lives to walk in line step with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit flow by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit come by the Holy Spirit. So come on. Right. I know it's a fruit of our human spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to develop that. Right? So all this happens because of the Holy Spirit. So let's get our attention back on the fact that we can't live this life effectively. You can plow and plug through and plug along and maybe get through, and you'll go to heaven. Whoopee. Right? I mean, I know it's a big deal, but I don't want to just plug along until I get to heaven. I want God to be able to use me. I want him to, when I get there, he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But we're not going to hear that if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through our lives. So here's my advice to you, and I'm done. If you've got a prayer language, use it daily. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have me to do today? Here's my question for you. Have you been infused with inner strength by the Holy Spirit? And here's another question. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Just take a moment and just, if you need to, close your eyes and just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are some things that I can do? What are some ways that I can make room for the Holy Spirit? Because see, that's the whole thing. When you want the Holy Spirit, you've got to make room for him. I said, you have to make room for him. Right? We've got to make, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to say, Jenny, come here. You're going to pray in the Spirit. Now give me that tongue of yours. He's not going to do that. But he's doing this. He's hovering and ready to move if you will allow him to. He's a perfect gentleman. He never makes us do anything. He never makes us do anything. But he, if we will just yield to him, he will step right in and say, okay, here we go. Let's get some stuff done. He's ready to partner with you if we will make room for him and give him time. Amen. Does this help anybody today? Go and stand up on your feet. The fuel of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. Hallelujah. You know, I was at Bible school. Well, no, I wasn't teaching this Thursday. I was just doing a test. But our students know that when I'm administering a test, I end up teaching. But anyways, we just went through our song, because we always, you know, we open up, we have snacks, whatever, and you know, and then we have we just play a song and do a worship song on the TV there. And as we was just going through that song, man, I was just so moved by the Holy Spirit, because you have these rough days, right? You know, things go on, the enemy's attacking and whatever he's doing, whatever, you're trying to get you distracted, this, that, and whatever, you know. But it's just always amazing. It's always amazing, because when you come in and you just begin to shut all that stuff off and you just begin to put on a worship song and you just begin to worship the Lord, that refreshing comes. He's like, I know you've been through a lot of stuff today and this week, but see what happens when you give me a little time? You know, and it just makes you want to do that every day. It's like, and then you don't do it every day, and you're like, boink, what is wrong with you, dude? Why are you letting the enemy keeping you distracted and try to put water on your fire? No, I want to burn hot for him. I want to be a burning inferno for God. So I'm going to take these fuels that I'm being given, and I am going to apply them. I'm going to get into the Word, and I'm going to spend time in prayer with God, and I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh today. I know you filled me yesterday, but I leak. So fill me again. Fill me again, Lord, and help me to plug up some of the unnecessary leaks. How many know sometimes we leak unnecessarily? Right, we allow things in our life, and we allow ourselves to get distracted, and we don't spend time where we should, and so those are self-inflicted unnecessary leaks. We've got enough leaking going on without unnecessary leaks, you know, just life coming at us. But when we take that time and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me today, lead me today, help me to be more aware of you, help me to be God inside minded. Help me to be spirit inside minded. Help me to be aware of you everywhere I go, no matter what I'm doing. Help me to be aware of you. He'll do it. He'll do it. If we don't ignore him, if we make room for him and invite him, he will show up. Amen. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus.